Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. If you missed it, Patrick Mahomes was on our show earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up in about 15 minutes. So before we get into the Chiefs news, and we'll get to it momentarily, the biggest story today in the world of sports is Carson Wentz is injured again. I know that comes as a shock to you. He has been a model of consistency and of health, but Carson Wentz is out indefinitely with the foot injury, so we'll see what that means for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, we haven't got through the full official first weekend of the NFL season, Rob, and Carson Wentz is always back up to old tricks. Someone made a pretty funny tweet on Twitter that even in Indianapolis, Carson Wentz still finds ways to hurt the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is a commitment to excellence. I really laughed at the tweet. And if you missed this, this was from last night during the NBA draft. The name Moses Moody had our boy Kendrick Perkins in an absolute headlock yesterday.
When you look at Moses Moody.
I mean, we've all been there in this business when you say so many words over the course of a day, words kind of trip you up from time to time. Like, I couldn't say momentarily earlier in the week, but I wasn't struggling like this.
When you look at Moses Moody.
The dude at the end had to help him. He had to throw him that life jacket, Rob. He had to throw my guy Kendrick Perkins that life jacket. And then was like, I got you, brother. It's all right, big fella. I got you, man. I got you. You had two easy putbacks. You missed them. I got you. Coming up in a little bit, we'll play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. If you missed it, really good talk. Always an honor to catch up with the best player in the NFL, in my opinion, Patrick Mahomes. So we'll play that for you coming up in just a little bit. So maybe some of you do not frequent the gram, but on Instagram yesterday, Justin Houston put a picture of him working out. He didn't have a shirt on. Rob, let me tell you, Justin Houston was ripped. He looked in football shape, best shape of his life, dare I say, I saw on the gram. But that's not that he's working out. He was working out in a Kansas City Chiefs helmet. He had a Kansas City Chiefs helmet on when he was working out, which certainly fuels some conversations about. You know my stance on this. This team could use an additional pass rusher. There's still some questions. There's still some uncertainty when it comes to the pass rush. Now, maybe they feel like they answered that question when they brought back Alex Okafor. But I'm telling you that Alex Okafor is not anywhere close to the pass rusher that Justin Houston is. Alex Okafor is a good player. He had three sacks last year. We're talking about a guy who is a rotational piece. Justin Houston had eight sacks last year, had 11 sacks in 2019. I know people's memory of Justin Houston is not living up to the contract and dealing with injuries, and he certainly was not the healthiest player his time in Kansas City. Justin Houston has played in all 16 games the last two seasons since living Kansas City. I don't know what they got in Indianapolis or what's in the water, but he has not missed a game due to injury since he left Kansas City. He has 19 sacks, played in all 32 games. He has 21 tackle for losses, 30 quarterback hits. You could argue that he's been a better pass rusher than Frank Clark the last two seasons. I don't know what the interest is for Kansas City. We haven't really heard anything from Kansas City's side, at least in terms of smoke, about them reaching out. But the fact that he's wearing the helmet, and we all know that these athletes love to send very cryptic tweets, and he sends this when the Chiefs are starting training camp. He's wearing a helmet. I think it's still a possibility. I'm not ready to shut the door on Justin Houston coming back to Kansas City and signing a one-year deal for $6 million. And eventually, whenever the Chiefs make a move with Tyrann Mathieu that creates a little bit of cap space, they then immediately fill that cap space by signing Justin Houston to a one-year deal. I'm not ready to completely dismiss that possibility. I still look at pass rush as being a need for this team, and there's not a lot of guys that you feel like you can instantly plug and play. And at this point with Justin Houston, you can instantly plug and play Justin Houston where he's going to be a third-down specialist or a situational pass rusher. He's a guy who could help spell Frank Clark, help spell Chris Jones on the other side, and be a plus pass rusher for this team. I will continue to pound the table until a deal actually happens regarding where he's playing football next year. I'm all for this organization going and signing Justin Houston.
I personally am all for it. I don't know the Chiefs are all for it the same way because their actions have not spoken that way. They brought Melvin Ingram in for a visit. We know that. That happened back in March. They didn't sign him. They then went out and signed Alex Okafor, a guy they have. They went out, and then the last two drafts, they drafted Mike Dana and Joshua Kando, and they brought back Taco Charlton. Me and you agree. That's probably not enough pass rush with a likely suspension for Frank Clark looming. It's just not. I don't think the Chiefs are operating that way. And you're right. I know athletes love cryptic tweets. There's Tyrann Mathieu in Kansas City who loves to tweet, and it gets everyone in an uproar every time he tweets. Athletes love it. I don't want to make too much of an overreaction to this because when football players work out, they sometimes put a helmet on to try to make it more like an in-game workout. There's only two helmets he can put on. He can put on his Chiefs helmet because you get to keep the helmet, or he put on a Colts helmet. The internet was going to explode either way the minute this photo hit the world. I would love Justin Houston. I don't think the Chiefs would love Justin Houston, or their actions don't seem to indicate they would love Justin Houston the same way the drive would. I would happily have him back, and we would do a huge topic on the show about it, and I would be totally squelched with pass rush nerves. But you know what? I don't think that day's coming in Kansas City.
I want to play this for you guys. This was Chris Jones earlier today as he met with the media. Now, I'm going to ask a question that I'm sure is going to upset some of you, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. Do we know what Chris Jones is as a pass rusher? Because I'm going to read you through some numbers. And this experiment in moving Chris Jones from the interior defensive line to outside defensive line and making him be more of a pass rusher is predicated on him being a double-digit sack guy. This defense is going to work because Jones is a 12-sack guy. Frank Clark is an 11-sack guy. They figure out the sacks, whether it's Spags dialing up a blitz or Okafor getting his couple and Jaron Reed being able to get constant pressure. But the best pass rusher on their team is likely Chris Jones. I don't know if the numbers bear that out. Here's what Chris Jones had to say earlier today when he met with the media.
We're trying to break the record, baby. We're trying to break the record. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. The record. We're trying to have the best D-line in the league. First and foremost, we're trying to be dominant throughout this whole season, and we're trying to challenge each other to get better day in and day out. If we do that, this D-line will be where we want to be.
So I want to read some numbers to you really quickly. It won't take me very long. So let's say that Chris Jones has played four real seasons in the NFL. I'm not taking away his rookie year, but he wasn't a consistent player on this team. It was his first year as a starter. I'm willing to remove that for the sake of this argument. Which one of these numbers is not the same like the other one? Chris Jones in his second season got 6.5 sacks. Chris Jones in year three took a massive step forward and had 15.5 sacks. Two seasons ago, the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, he had 9 sacks. In 2020, he had 7.5 sacks. That 15.5 is sort of sticking out like a sore thumb. You know how Jorge Soler's stats kind of look? I'm not calling him Jorge Soler, but it's that one year in which he hit 48 home runs, and the other years are like 21, 17, 19. That's kind of how the sacks looks for Chris Jones. If anybody's telling you that Chris Jones is a 13-sack guy, they're going off feeling at this point. He has not consistently proven that he is a 13-sack guy. This defense needs him to be that. So if now we think, and it's a fair thing to think, moving Chris Jones from the interior, which is a traditionally hard position to get pass rush from, but with the push coming from the interior with Jaren Reed and the push coming from Frank Clark on the other side, and now you have him and you tell him his sole responsibility is to get after the quarterback, that the numbers are going to jump up? Cool. Because the quarterback hits are there. Chris Jones had 28 quarterback hits last year. So there's no denying that last year he showed the ability to get pressure in the backfield. He just didn't really convert a lot of those into either sacks or tackle for losses. Last year, Chris Jones had 7.5 sacks. Rob, he had just 3 tackle for losses, which was down from 19 back in 2018. We're at the point now with Chris Jones. You asked for the big deal, and you got paid handsomely. You didn't get the massive deal you wanted. You didn't get the Fletcher Cox deal or the DeMarcus Lawrence deal or the Aaron Donald deal, but Chris Jones got paid. Now it's time to put everything together and go back to having that big season you had in 2018. Does Chris Jones have another 14 sack, 21 tackle for losses, 30 quarterback hits, undeniable first team All-Pro, big time pass rusher? Because if you want to talk about where the real money could potentially be, the real money is showing that you can be a Pro Bowl D tackle and also showing that you got the versatility to go to the outside and be a Pro Bowl defensive end. We're talking about a still relatively young player in Chris Jones, who is 27 years old and doesn't turn 28 until after the end of the season. Chris Jones can put himself in a position next year to renegotiate that deal and really get a big raise, or maybe potentially be traded and go for a massive haul.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And then you end up signing a new contract. This is a really important year for Chris Jones in terms of stepping forward. When you think about that defensive line, there are 3 defensive linemen I would argue these are all really important years for. Frank Clark, because the way that his contract is structured right now, it makes all the sense in the world for the Chiefs to release him or renegotiate his deal at the end of the season. Jaren Reed is playing on a 1-year deal. In the midst of everything with COVID last year, you signed the 1-year deal. You now think, if I have a good season, I play in playoff games, I play big in playoff games, I got the opportunity on the other end to get a big payday on the other side of this with the salary cap going back up. And if you're Chris Jones, you continue to put these big seasons together under the age of 30, as the salary cap is only going to balloon over the next 3 seasons. Chris Jones can put himself in a position to make $70 million guaranteed. He can put himself in a situation to maybe make $120 million. A big season between the 3 of those guys could really mean a lot financially for themselves. And also, the Chiefs at some point got to pay one of those guys. Coming up on the other side, we're taking a 1-minute break. A 1-minute break. Coming up on the other side, we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in a bit, we'll get into the hits, the top story of the day in Kansas City. Typically, we do that at 5 o'clock, but today we are off an hour early today because the Royals are in the Eastern time zone. So we're off an hour early. That means the hits are going to be a little bit earlier. Keep it locked in right here on the drive. In case you missed it, we were joined earlier today by the starting quarterback for your Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We had a fun conversation. Always good to catch up with, in my opinion, the best player in the NFL. Our conversation with Patrick Mahomes started with a very simple, Pat, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Hot out here, but it's going good.
Absolutely, Pat. It's been a long time since we've talked, and every time we talk, you're off doing something. You're in Lake Tahoe playing golf with Justin Timberlake. You're on the cover of Madden. You've got a new child. You've had a very busy offseason.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. It's been a lot of fun. Obviously, pretty busy, but being able to soak up as much time to relax and be with the fam.
So, Patrick, let's say that it is June 6th, for example. It is late at night. Baby is crying. Baby gets up in the middle of the night. Who has to get up, you or Brittany?
Brittany's been doing it for the most part, but I'll tell you what, man. We've been blessed. Started sleeping all the way through the night. She has been for a little bit now. I know my second baby's going to be waiting up tonight.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, so you are now part owner of Sporting. You're part owner of the Royals. You're part owner of Sporting. You also keep close, very tabs with the women's soccer team because of your fiance. When did you start to feel like Kansas City was your home, where the community embraced you, but you also had that same love back towards this community?
I mean, it was pretty immediate. I mean, from the moment that I got here, I mean, from coming down even after the draft day, Kansas City has embraced me fully. And they've shown me support. They've shown my family support. They really welcomed everybody in with open arms and be part of it. For a long time, being a part of these different organizations that have been staples in Kansas City and that they support, it's just the first step of being here for a very long time.
Right now, you're sort of our de facto ambassador to the world with how many people you come into contact with. You certainly come into contact with people who have never been to Kansas City before. What's your message to sort of sell them to come visit?
Biggest thing that I talk about is the people. I talk about how they embrace you, they love you, they show you love no matter where you're from. Obviously, we have some of the best sports teams around the country, and to be able to have them in Kansas City with the support that we have as a fan base, it's second to none.
You have been following the Olympics. I've been following the Olympics. It's one of those things where you like randomly find yourself watching water polo in the middle of the night, and you're like, how have I not been watching this? This is so enjoyable. So let's say that you could become an Olympic level athlete at anything. What would you pick?
I would for sure either be track or swimming.
Why is that?
First of all, I've always wished I was fast. Like preschool, so that would be the 100-meter. Running in that 100-meter would be awesome, and then see the swimming and how competitive it is, and how it's like no matter who gets in that final heat, they can win. And then how close those finishes are, those things get you excited every single time.
I know your job is hard, and not a lot of people obviously can do it. But I watched that swimming, and I'm thinking, you just swam for 2 minutes doing this breaststroke, and you don't seem very tired. Like, they seem like otherworldly when they do this.
Oh, 100%. And, like, you see, like, Katie Ledecky doing, like, 1,500-meter freestyle swimming, and she's just going. And every single time she's doing 50 meters, it's exactly the same time. You're like, how do you be that consistently fast swimming for that long? I mean, it's truly remarkable.
So Usain Bolt actually said that he would race Tyreek Hill. Who do you think wins that race?
Man, I mean, it's going to be a tough one, but, I mean, I'm always taking my guy Tyreek, man. I'm taking him versus anybody. But if it's a 40, I think Tyreek has at least a chance. If they start getting a little bit longer, you know, Usain starts building speed pretty quickly there with those long legs. But I'll take Tyreek in a 40.
There aren't many people I would take in a race over Tyreek Hill. That might be the one person I'm like, nah, he got you, bro. He got you.
It's definitely he's going to have the odds in his – I mean – odds in his favor with Usain. So Tyreek might have good odds on him, so I might keep those odds.
On a very serious note, because I think you're the perfect person to ask this question to, you obviously know the backstory with Simone Biles and everything that's happened. You're one of the few athletes in this country that can identify with the level of pressure and expectations. How do you deal with those pressures and expectations?
I've actually done stuff with my mental health and trying to those and really internalize and have perspective of that pressure since college. Kingsbury had a kind of a guy come in and talk to me about different stuff like that. And then having people around you that you can talk to, I think, is a big thing. Being able to talk with people around you that you trust and that you love and try to keep it in perspective of, I mean, we're trying to do the best and be the best at what we are, but at the same time, it's just a sport. It's not your whole entire life. I think if you keep it in perspective, you can go out there and be the best that you want to be.
I was actually talking to one of my good friends, Jeremy, about this, saying you work in one of the few professions in which people can see you fail in real time. Most people live at a job, and if they have a bad day at work, it's just not public. It's not broadcasted. That you live in a world in which people see your heights, people see your lows, people see all these things. And I can understand how if you're a 21, 22-year-old person, that would be a lot of pressure and expectation if, like, you constantly have to live up to.
Yeah, 100%. And then the constant battle that you have to have, you know, you're at the top of your game every time you're in those things. And four years pretty much every single day so that she can be at the Olympics and be at these world championships and be performing at the best of her ability. And so for her, it's just like kind of other guys have done and retired and came back to the sport or sat out different things. I mean, it was the best thing for her at that time. And then she'll be back. She'll be better. I'm sure she'll win more goals for us at USA.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, for a couple of more minutes. Patrick, the last time you and I talked, the Big 12 was in great standing. Now when we have this conversation, they are not in great standing. What's your take on what's happening with Texas and Oklahoma and making the move to the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, as someone that's kind of a traditionalist, it's sad to see, I mean, with those rivalries that they have, the Big 12 Conference. But at the same time, people evolve, people change. And I know Texas Tech will find a way to persevere through this and find a way to be in the best situation possible whenever that does happen and they do either continue the Big 12 with other teams or go somewhere else. I'm just excited for the new opportunity that we'll have, and I know that we'll be the fearless champions that we always are.
If you had to pick, where would you like Texas Tech to go? I'm not sure if the SEC is a viable plan. Do you think they make sense in the Pac-12? Would you like to go somewhere else? Like, if they came to you and said, what's your suggestion on where we should go, what would you tell them?
For me, I mean, it's either you find a couple of teams like Houston, SMU, or somebody that get in the Big 12, or you just go to the Pac-12. I mean, those Arizona schools are right there. Colorado's right there. It might be a little bit of a trip to Washington and then Washington State, but I think we can make some good stuff happen out there in the Pac-12, so that'd probably be it for me.
I'm going to give you a chance to shout out, like, one of your old, like, stomping grounds back when you were in college. So, like, keeping it with this, you obviously know about name, image, and like. Let's say that some Lubbock company comes to a young Patrick Mahomes and says, we want you to endorse our brand. Name, image, and likeness. What would you have picked back in college?
Man, dude, there's so many out there in Lubbock. So many of those, like, hometowny little places. But I'm sure there'd be a couple companies that would reach out to me, especially in Lubbock. It's like Lubbock, Texas is like its own country, man. There's nothing else out there but Lubbock.
Something tells me that you would have never had to pay for any meals while you were the quarterback at Texas Tech.
No, yeah, it wouldn't have been many.
Last thing here, today I saw the video with you, your fiance, and your daughter when you get in the Madden thing. Pretty cool. Like, I know you maybe expected to be 99 because you were 99 last year, but the whole video production was actually really well done.
Yeah, as a little kid, you dream about that stuff, and that's stuff that we all want to do. So, I mean, every single year, and to be able to get that, especially at the beginning of the year, and being 99, just your hard work's paying off.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Patrick, man, I always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Always good to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We'll get back to talking about sports here in just a little bit, but I think the conversation regarding Simone Biles is a very interesting one for so many different reasons. But I think Patrick is a really unique person to ask the question to, because he really is one of the few athletes in the world that are somewhat in the shoes of Simone Biles. Nobody ever knows 100% what somebody else is going through. You can't walk a mile in anybody else's shoes, but if you want to talk about the weight of expectation on you and having your life, career, and everything play itself out in real time the way that Simone Biles has to, and she's at the point where she represents just more than being a gymnast, like, she is considered to be an American hero to a lot of people, that person would be Patrick Mahomes when you think about it.
and the pressure of having to live up to signing a $500 million contract. You're the face of multiple brands. You're getting married here in the next 12 months. You have your first child. Like there's a lot of things in the personal life of Patrick Mahomes to sort of navigate and continue to be the face of arguably the most popular league in the world. Not asking anybody to feel bad for any of these athletes or anything of that nature, but I don't really think that we give enough respect to the fact that most people at their job can sort of fail in silence or fail behind the scenes. That not many people have a job that's very public in which if you make a tremendous blunder, it happens in real time and everybody has the ability to comment on it. Rob, when you really think about the biggest difference between being an athlete in 1995 as opposed to being an athlete now, I think the pressures of it are largely the same, but now for the first time in sports fandom, if Simone Biles was a gymnast in 1996, the only way that you really get fan feedback is through like fan mail or people to your face saying things to you. That's not really the case right now. Like right now, if you are Patrick Mahomes or LeBron James or Simone Biles, like you can see what people are saying and thinking about you in real time and get people's instant reaction. They just live in a very different world and bubble than most people. So I think people like Patrick Mahomes, people like LeBron, people who have reached that level of fame and success, the way that Simone Biles had, they have a very unique perspective on sort of what's going on with her and what's best for her going forward. I certainly wish her nothing but the best. I hope that we get a chance to see her compete in the Olympics while we still have it going on. But more than anything, it's about getting herself right and about being able to get back to feeling good about herself and competing at the absolute highest level. Coming back on the other side, we'll take a 1 minute break. We'll get back to talking about Danny Duffy, who was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll do that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. I want to play this for you. This was Dayton Moore as he spoke with the media yesterday after the trade. Here's Dayton Moore on the background behind the Danny Duffy move.
You know, we began really kind of having these discussions with Danny prior to the All-Star break. And, you know, obviously he wasn't on the IL at the time. And then when he went on the IL, it put everything on pause. So there wasn't really anything that we could do. But there were a couple teams that were still willing to, look to do a deal, you know, with Danny. Obviously, the return, the potential return had changed greatly because he's on the IL. And so that's just part of the game. That happens, unfortunately. But we still felt that the return was value enough for us to do what was right for the organization and also do what was right for Danny, because I do know that he had a desire to pitch for the Dodgers and be in a pennant race and potentially win a World Series. That was appealing to him, and so anyway that's what we did.
I certainly get from all perspectives on why they wanted this deal to get done. If you're the Royals, we're talking about a player in which you weren't making the playoffs this year. He probably wasn't going to be healthy for most of the month of August. Danny Duffy coming back to play the final 30 games of the season for this organization just really didn't serve any purpose for anybody. If you're Danny Duffy, you got a chance to move closer to your family. You got a chance to win a World Series ring. You got a chance to play meaningful games. Like, I understand why Danny Duffy would waive his trade rights to go play for an organization of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So on both sides of this, I think this is a very smart move. It's the right move. It's a correct move, really, for all sides. Rob, what I want to ask you, as the Royals are your team, if we made the all Dayton Moore rotation, so we're talking about pitchers that he has acquired. So you can't put Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke was not drafted under Dayton Moore. He played under Dayton Moore, but Dayton Moore did nothing to acquire Zach Greinke. He was on the team when he took over. Is Duffy in that starting five? And I haven't done this. We can do the exercise together in real time. Is it good if Danny Duffy is in your starting five? Dayton's been here, what, 15 years? 15 years of Dayton Moore. We would consider Danny Duffy's career to be very up and down, very inconsistent. Certainly a lot of meat left on the bone, a lot left on the table if we're talking about what we expected Danny Duffy to be. I assume we're putting James Shields on this list. So James Shields would be in the all Dayton Moore rotation. I don't want to put Cueto on this list. Like, I understand why people would argue you did trade for him. That was a mercenary. That was he was only going to be here for the duration of the season. You were never going to sign him long term. Dayton gets credit for the acquisition. Not talking about that. But I can't really put myself to put Johnny Cueto on this team for that. If people want to put an asterisk behind it, that's certainly fine. But James Shields was a little bit of a different beast than Johnny Cueto. I think people can understand that. I think you'd have to put Yordano Ventura on that team. I know we didn't get to see it play itself out, but what we had saw in the very limited sample size versus what we thought we were going to see moving forward, I think Yordano deserves to be on that team. Is Edison Volquez on that team? Like, I'm just trying to think about the amount of starters that they've had. Now, going forward, I think the rotation could drastically change based on if guys like Lynch hit or Keller or Singer or Asa Lacy. They certainly have some names in the hopper. But if we're making the all Dayton Moore rotation team, I think Danny Duffy makes it. But it's also funny when you think about it. He's probably one of the five best pitchers that Dayton either traded for or drafted. But his career is also somewhat disappointing if we're looking at the total lens of it.
I think Duffy has to be in your Dayton Moore 5. I think if I were to do a Dayton Moore 5, and as you were saying that, I was sitting here back here building a starting 5, it'd be in some capacity Gilmesh, James Shields, Yordano Ventura, Danny Duffy, and probably Edinson Volquez as your 5, and you'd hope that one of these crop of young pitchers eventually pushes Volquez out of that 5. But for people who are questioning if Danny Duffy deserves to be in the top 5, I think he absolutely does. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind he's be the top 5. I pulled the stat. In the history of Royals baseball, do you know that Danny Duffy is 10th all-time in WAR for pitchers? He's the only Dayton Moore pitcher on the top five, of the top 10, excuse me. I guess Zach Greinke's there, but that doesn't really count. And okay, maybe WAR's not for everyone. I'm a little bit of a seam head. I'm a little bit of a stat nerd. WAR's for me. Danny Duffy's top 10 all-time Royals WAR. Okay, that's fine. Strikeouts per nine. That's a stat that everyone would value, right? You want to strike guys out in nine innings. You don't want to come in and walk batters. You want to get strikeouts. It's the best way to keep people off base. Danny Duffy is third all-time in Royals baseball history with a hair over eight strikeouts per nine innings. I think what's happened with Danny Duffy, when we look at it through the lens of all-time greatness with the Royals, is that we feel like he never hit the ceiling because you remember people talked about how great he was in 2016 and people talking about long-term contracts and so on and so forth. I remember Jason Stark said there's no way to explain other than he gives off funky contact and he's a great pitcher. But I don't think he ever consistently hit that mark, and Royals fans then feel like they missed out on something great. But let's not diminish what he actually accomplished. He was one of the better Royals pitchers of all time, and that includes your split-offs, your Apiers, your Saberhagens. Danny Duffy is absolutely in a starting five of Dayton Moore's starting pitchers, and he might be in the top half of the rotation.
Yeah, but this would be my question, though, if we're talking about this. Is it in the same vein of Alex Smith being a Chiefs Hall of Famer? I'm not saying Alex Smith was not a good football player for Kansas City, but you also haven't had very good quarterbacks. So when you say that Alex Smith is one of the five best quarterbacks in Kansas City Chiefs history, you also got to ask yourself, well, who are you comparing it to? Like, how many legit good starters would you say the Royals have had in 15 years of Dayton Moore being here? Where you would say a legit good starting pitcher, not what we project them to be, because we're not putting Brady Singer yet. He might be, but he's not there yet. Brad Keller's been a little inconsistent. Like, if we're making a list over 15 years of guys that he either drafted or traded for that we would put in this good category, there's what, maybe 12 to 15 individuals? So, like, there's just not a whole lot of guys to sort of compare it to, where I think Duffy had a good career here in Kansas City. But you talk about the ceiling. I actually think he hit the ceiling. Like, I would say 2016, I think that's a really good season for Danny Duffy. I understand wins and losses, but he went 12-3. He had an ERA under 4. He pitched almost 180 innings. That's a good season for a pitcher. Since then, it's just been eh. Honestly, it's just been eh for Duffy. The next year, he was okay. ERA went up. Starts went down. Innings went down. Other than that, it's just been so up and down. He never had 30 starts when he was here, never got to 200 innings. And you and I have both talked to Duffy enough. Starting in 30 games and pitching 200 innings was something he always wanted to do and was unable to accomplish it at his time here in Kansas City. If you look at the contract, he didn't live up to the contract at all. Now, maybe I'm just have tunnel vision when it comes to this. I would say that Alex Gordon receives way more backlash for not living up to his contract than Danny Duffy does. Danny Duffy had a 5-year, $65 million deal with this team. The most wins he had in one individual season was 9. He had one season outside of this year, but he only made 12 starts, in which he had an ERA that was under 4. You want to talk about a bad deal? This deal ended up being a bad deal for the Royals. That I love Danny Duffy as much as everybody else does. I wish that he had the opportunity to be buried a Royal. But there's a lot of criticism that's levied at Alex Gordon for not living up to his deal. How he had a great season, the Royals paid him, and it instantly fell off a cliff. All of those arguments that can be made toward Alex Gordon, you could turn them right around and make those same arguments for Danny Duffy. We'll get into this plus more coming up. We have a 1-minute commercial break. We'll come back and we'll do the hits. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Coming up in a little bit, it is the segment that you control. 913-576-7610. We always sign off on a Friday with Ask Us Anything. Typically, it is at 5:45, but today we are off an hour early because the Royals are in the Eastern time zone. Someone on the text line, text line 913-576-7610. This year, without injury, Danny Duffy was so good. I agree with you. He also only made 12 starts. at this point, Danny Duffy missed more time this season than he participated in, just by the numbers. Danny Duffy pitched in 61 innings this year. Just not a really big sample. To give you guys a comparison, Danny Duffy played as much as he played in 2020, and that year was capped at 60 games. Was capped at 60. Danny Duffy last year pitched 56.1 innings. This year, in a Royals uniform, he was at 61 innings. So he didn't really pitch a whole lot more this year than he did last year. He was better this year than he was last year, but this is a sample size argument. I agree with you. Danny Duffy, the first month of the season, I think was trending to be an all-star. I thought Danny Duffy was showing the value, Rob, of a contract year, and you can just really turn things around. But I would say also what's the story of Danny Duffy is the moment things start to get really good, the injury bug is normally creeping up to bite you. Like, we could find three other examples in Danny Duffy's history that are very similar to how this season started. Duffy got out of the gates like a rocket, hot, ready to go. And then around May or June, something happened and he missed a significant amount of time. He came back for a little bit, it got injured again, and now we're not sure when Duffy's coming back. Duffy could come back in August. He could come back in early September, mid-September. Like, in this case, it's not the Royals' problem anymore, so to speak. But I agree. There's no denying. Duffy was great when he played. He had a 2.51 ERA. He also pitched 12 starts. He also pitched 61 innings. If this team really was going to make a push and a run, they needed healthy, good Danny Duffy for the entirety of the season. And unfortunately, that is not the one that they got. So that is the top hit of the day. Danny Duffy is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Good luck to him as he moves on. But, Rob, there's other stories in the around sports. Let's get to it.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, as you mentioned, Danny Duffy wasn't the only person the Kansas City Royals moved to the deadline. They have officially traded Jorge Soler to the Atlanta Braves for high-A prospect named Casey Kalick. CDOT, considering the Royals only made two moves, and they are both contracts that were set to expire at season's end, do you like how they handled the deadline?
I think it was pretty much expected to see how the Royals handled the deadline, to be completely honest with you about it. To me, they picked the lowest fruits off the trade deadline tree. They traded a player in Danny Duffy who was maybe going to make five more starts at the absolute most for them the rest of the season, so they got something for him of value before he hit the open market in free agency. And a player in Jorge Soler, he was so bad for most of the season, he got a little bit of a hot streak heading into the deadline. Somebody called, and you would have traded him to anybody at that point. We're talking about a guy who's hitting under 200. We're at August. We're talking about a guy who, until recently, had no pop for virtually most of the season. We're talking about a player who still has an under 300 on-base percentage, who was slugging 340 this season. The Royals did the absolute right thing, and really the only thing with Jorge Soler. It was over. The Jorge experience, experiment, it's over. I wish him nothing but success in Atlanta, but you had to trade Jorge Soler. The real thing to me would have been trading Scott Barlow. I would have done that. I get why they didn't do it. Dayton is convinced that they're going to be good in 2022, and the book is certainly still unwritten when it comes to that. But you want to talk about real value, real assets, something that can really help you moving forward. They didn't really trade players that give them prospects back in return that you feel good about their ability to help.
Two.
Well, another day in the conference realignment wheel continues to spin. Earlier today, Kansas State Athletic Director Gene Taylor sat down with the voice of the Wildcats for a exclusive Ask AD on the internet. He was asked about if fans, K-State fans specifically, should be panicked about the state of the Big 12.
You know, the championships we've won,
how we've competed not only within the Big 12 Conference, but nationally, and some of the things we've accomplished, not just in football, but all of our sports and all of that. Look at our facilities and the wonderful fan support we have. You know, our bowl partners love K-State to come to bowl games. Now, those kinds of things is what makes K-State special and will put us in a great position as we work through this, you know, this transition period. You know, again, the goal is to keep this conference together as much as we can, with the exception of obviously Texas and OU. But from a fan's perspective, they don't need to panic. We're in a great position, and we're a great academic institution as well, and that plays a major role in this as well.
Yo, really quick, that man's lying to you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. That man is lying to you. K-State, you are not in a great position. Now, you're not necessarily in a bad position. I think you're going to find a good conference and a good home. But let's not kid yourself. You are not in a good position. And I agree with most of what he had to say. K-State is a special place. Most small communities are a special place. They rally around their love of Kansas State athletics. They rally around their love of Manhattan, Kansas, and they want to see the best for their Wildcats. I want the best for their Wildcats. But what's happening right now in college athletics is as American as apple pie. Big business is rolling over small town. We've seen this story play itself out time and time again, whether it was Walmart, whether it was Amazon, whether it was Dollar General or Dollar Tree coming to your small town and running off your mom and pop stores because you just can't compete financially with the machine. That's what's happening right now. The machine is ESPN. The machine is Texas. The machine is Oklahoma. And they are running over cities like Waco. They are running over cities like Lubbock, Texas. They are running over cities like Manhattan, Kansas. So Kansas State is going to find a seat at a table. They might not have a seat at the table moving forward, but they're going to find a seat at a table. To me, the most likely thing that's going to happen in all of this is there's going to be a merger between probably 5 to 6 schools in the Big 12, and they are going to merge with the American Athletic Conference. Kansas has an option. I think Kansas is going to end up in the Big 10 or the ACC. From a basketball brand standpoint, it would make a lot of sense for the ACC to pick up Kansas. Sure, it's about football and television, but the ACC is a different kind of brand. And if you can build a brand around Louisville, Kansas, Duke, and North Carolina in basketball, that's a really good foundation for the best basketball conference in the world. But Kansas State, you don't have nearly the fan base that KU has, the ties in the Kansas City community and the foothold that Kansas does, nor the property that Kansas basketball has. So you probably won't get the same seat at the table as Missouri, who has the Kansas City and St. Louis market, or Kansas is going to have because their ties to the Kansas City market and their basketball property. You're going to probably end up with a different seat at the table. That table is probably going to be a merger of the Big 12 and teams in the AAC.
3.
Well, as athletes love to do, Justin Houston got the internet all in a buzz as he was on Instagram showing his workout to prove he's fit and ready to play for an NFL team this upcoming season. But what got the internet all a buzz was that he was working out in a Kansas City Chiefs football helmet. Carrington, would you like to see the Chiefs bring back their former defensive end?
Yes, I've been screaming this from the mountaintops for the last 2 months, and all I've done is been laughed at, scoffed at. No one listens to me. Pass rush is a premium in the NFL. Rob, you know me. The three things I value in the NFL are fairly obvious and pretty straightforward. You need somebody who can throw the ball. You need people who can stop people from throwing the ball. That's all you need. You know what a pass rusher does? It gets to the quarterback. You know what great cornerbacks do? They defend the pass. So I'm always going to be an advocate of building up those three pillars on your organization. You guys know I've been a little bit unhappy, a little bit frustrated at the Chiefs' commitment to building up those positions, but there's a viable pass rusher who has 19 sacks over the last 2 seasons who is wearing your apparel on the gram. Go sign that player. I don't know what his agent's name is. I think it's Joel Siegel. You guys certainly know who his agent is. Let's get this Tyrann Mathieu deal done. Let's get it done. let's use the available cap space to sign Justin Houston to a one-year, $4 million deal like Melvin Ingram just got. Everybody's happy. I stop talking about it. The Chiefs pass rush gets better, and we move forward. That sounds like a win-win-win for everybody. Me, you, them. Justin Houston, everybody wins. Wins everywhere. Text in your questions, 913-576-7610. We have one more segment left. We'll be back after a one-minute break. It is Ask Us Anything next. Keep it locked in right here. So drive.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Text line 913-576-7610. It is a segment that you control. Ask Us Anything. Before we get to your questions, Rob, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Celtics are trading Tristan Thompson to Atlanta for Chris Dunn and a 2023 second-round pick. I know you guys are not big NBA fans. We won't spend too much time on this, but I can't think of a worse city fit for any human being than Atlanta is for Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson got a cheating disorder. You going down to stripper capital USA, Tristan, my boy. You got a tough time fighting off temptation. I'm not going to lie to you, Tristan. That's not a strength of yours. Being monogamous is not something you're good at. You got to request a trade from Atlanta, bro. You got to request a trade to OKC. Doesn't seem like a lot of temptation in Oklahoma City.
I mean, he couldn't fight off temptation in Cleveland. Where can he fight it off? You think Oklahoma City, he wouldn't find someone? Come on now.
I don't think he was in Cleveland when he was cheating. I think he was in L.A. when he was cheating, but he was playing with Cleveland. This is going to be playing a lot more home games than he was used to playing. He'll be playing a lot more home games than he was used to. Yeah, come on, Tristan. You got to request a trade. I don't know where that place is for you in the league. Like, you've kind of run out of options here to be a faithful person, but it ain't in Atlanta, bro. That's not the place to go and be a family man if you're an NBA player.
Chloe should be used to someone being in the strip club capital of the world and stepping out. She dated James Harden.
That's I can't argue that. I don't have any rebuttal to what you had to say. 913-576-7610. We will answer your questions. CDOT, do you plan on doing more movie reviews? No, I don't actually plan on doing any more movie reviews, at least not in the short term. I mean, I'm sure we will at some point, but no. When are you guys kicking off the KC barbecue tour? We have actually been working on it with Mitch. Sometime in August, we have some dates, but, you know, trying to lock everything in. But we do have about 10 restaurants that are on board with our Kansas City barbecue tour. We're getting the video person ready. It's coming. Coming soon. That's all I'm going to say. Coming soon. We will have a Kansas City barbecue tour with Mitch Schwartz. This was before you guys' time, but Ginger or Marianne, I was born in 1988. That's a question for Fesco in the morning. That's not a question for this show. That is a question for Fesco in the morning. Where do you guys see West Virginia landing? I think West Virginia is going to the ACC. I think the ACC is actually going to be very proactive when it comes to conference realignment. I think the ACC actually makes a lot of sense for West Virginia. Very good football program, strong basketball program, very passionate fan base, makes a lot of sense geographically. I think the ACC makes a lot of sense for West Virginia. Text line, 913-576-7610. The kids are at their grandparents today. Where should I take the wife for dinner tonight? That is a very difficult thing to know without knowing where you live in the city. You text back and tell me where you live in the city, I can help you. But if you live in Olathe, I can't give you a place downtown. CDOT, do you get paid when the Royals have Royals games? Yeah. What do you guys think? Yeah, of course. Not a question is that. Yeah.
You think the guy cheering for Royals Day games was cheering against his paycheck? Come on, guys. Yeah, listen to the show.
Like, yeah. You think I'm an hourly employee here? Yeah, of course. How come McDonald's ice cream machine never works? That is a perfect question. I wish I had the answer for why McDonald's ice cream machine is never working. It's at the point now where I can't remember the last time I got ice cream from McDonald's. To me, you got to be a child to get ice cream at McDonald's. Like, that has to be one of those things, like, your kid's like, hey, I want ice cream. Like, you're a fully grown adult and you're just going to McDonald's to get ice cream with all the different viable options. I only really get ice cream now at two places. It's either, I guess, three places. I go to Miami Ice on 39th Street. I go to Andy's, which is all around town. Betty Ray's or Sonic. Those are probably the four places I'm getting ice cream from.
You're going to insult the McDonald's ice cream people, but then go out of your way for Sonic?
Yeah, but whenever I go to Sonic, though, I don't get like a banana split. Like, they have like nice limeades, and they have this cream slush. I love the cream slush. I'm a big cream slush person. How long do you have to keep calling the Odyssey app new until it works? Is what I'm planning on, actually. That's what I'm planning on, until it works. So I feel like when you say it's new, people just assume that it's not going to work. So I don't know. So the thing is, no one's told me to keep calling the Odyssey app new. I just made the decision for myself to keep calling it the brand new Odyssey app. This has not been a directive from anybody above. I just have been calling it the brand new Odyssey app. CDOT, have you slid into Joy Taylor's DMs yet? I have not done that. I have asked Nick Wright's wife to put in a good word for me. They are friends, and that has not happened yet. I actually do, Rob, at some point I do think I'll meet Joy Taylor. I don't know when in my life I think I'll meet Joy Taylor, but I do feel very confident that at one point in my life I will meet Joy Taylor. I really thought I was going to meet her at the Super Bowl. I really thought I was going to meet her when we went to Miami.
You really need the Chiefs to be in another Super Bowl that Fox runs. That's what you need. I mean, you've already had that moment, but you need it again, because then Nick will hook you up. And now you're like three steps away from Coward. Like, you got to make this happen.
What is the best Chiefs home game to go to this year? The Packers game? So the Packers game is one, Cowboys game is two.
Yeah, now that Rodgers is back,
Pittsburgh
definitely.
Pittsburgh's probably three,
right? Cleveland's three.
You're right. Pittsburgh, or Cleveland's three. It's season opener, Cleveland. Yeah. It's something about Pittsburgh. I know they won't be good this year, but that fan base is just different. Just different. Rob, what are your top five pizza places in Lawrence?
Morning Stars is really, really good. It's off the beaten path. I don't want to say like Pizza Shuttle and like the lame stuff like that. There's one on Mass. I forget the name of. It's like underground. It's pretty good. I don't really go get pizza when I'm in Lawrence anymore, so I'm not a great barometer, but I'd say Morning Stars is my go-to spot.
CDOT, when will you appear on Cowherd? Anytime Colin Cowherd wants me to come on his show, I am very, very happy to go on his show. He's never asked me to go on his show. I don't know. CDOT, will you please shout out my wife, Ashley, for being such a supportive person to my sports passion? You know what, Ashley? You are a queen. And I hope that your husband takes you to McDonald's for ice cream today, and I hope the ice cream machine is working. How was the Monarchs game? It was a lot of fun. I had a great time at the Monarchs game yesterday. Special thanks to them for showing us a lot of love and hospitality. We certainly plan on doing it again on a day that is not nearly as hot as yesterday. We're out of here. I appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your weekend. And let's let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.